Somewhere in the dark and nasty regions where nobody goes, stands an ancient castle. Deep within this dank and uninviting place lives...
From FC United of Manchester Radio, Swampy.
Hello!
Overworked servant of the thing upstairs.
Feed me!
But that's nothing compared to the horrors that lurk beneath the trapdoor. For there is always something down there, in the dark, waiting to come out.
Don't you open that trap door?
You're a fool if you dare.
Stay away from that trap door.
Cause there's something down there.
Welcome everyone to Red Rebel Radio. I'm Ben, and down the other end of the phone, in the European Union, our brothers in arms. Happy Remain Day, everyone. It's Swampy.
Yes, this show is going out to a no-name person, but happens to be somebody that works for Altrincham Football Club, who was looking forward to this day, suggesting it was going to be the greatest day in British political life. Unfortunately, it's not happened, has it? And it's unlikely to happen for a little while longer. And it's only taken them 3 years to actually decide, let's have a chat about it and let's put different proposals forward and utilise the brains of those that have been sat in the house listening to the mundane and the boring and the obvious and the reasons why it was never going to be successful. But now they are talking, and the downside is with such little time to go, everyone is saying no to every single deal.
Well, there's not much time left. In all fairness, we've got we're recording this at about 1 o'clock on Friday afternoon, and that gives us roughly 8 hours before we're due to leave.
It's not happening today, Ben. I've got a sneaky feeling it's not. I think we can safely say.
Anyway, that's the politics done and dusted. Let's talk about the football now, Swampy. And
page 10, Ben. Page 10, as we discussed last week. I hope you have yours ready to hand.
Oh, the Aldi thing. I've not been to Aldi this week. Sorry. I did mean to do it. We'll postpone it till next week. We'll have another meaningful vote next week. How's that on it? All right.
Well, there's a 33% of pineapples today.
Wow. How many do you need?
I have a full one. I mean, they don't chop 33% off the pineapple. You actually get a percentage off the price, Ben.
Oh, I see.
You don't get a sliced pineapple. Like, there's two rings. You know, you get a full pineapple for €1.49.
Wait, what is a pineapple? I thought that was this thing that came in the Del Monte tins.
Well, Ben, in the satanic days ahead of us, those tins will probably be worth gold. They will be worth gold in months to come when basically people are, you know... Food banks basically will become like the supermarkets for everyone. Everyone will have to use them. They will be the go-to place for anything. A duo pack of toilet duck and Dettol, only €3.99, Ben. And that's next to the champagne, which is only €9.99. But anyway, as you say, we'll do that next week rather than this.
Toilet duck's an interesting one, isn't it? Because basically it's just your standard bottle of bleach shaped a bit like a duck. Crazy.
Well, it's not even shaped like a duck, is it?
No.
It's got a U-bend thing to put under the rim. You know, I've never been in the park watching people, you know, feeding the ducks with seed or with grapes, which is the only thing that you should use. Never use bread, kids, out there, because it's very, very bad and damaging for the duck and also then for the duck's youngs. But I've never gone, goodness gracious, that duck there. You know what? I reckon I could make some form of Dettol and a detergent and use their neck as a premise to actually get under the rim.
Football then this weekend, and FC United will be taking on Nuneaton Borough in a game of football. Let's go back to Tuesday night, Swampy.
Capitulation, Ben. Capitulation, that's what it was. A game we talked about that was vitally important for FC United and Manchester. And you know, goodness gracious, it starts off so well. A decent goal, a good headed goal. Keeper going the wrong way. It was poor marking from York, in fairness. They left him, and the goalkeeper certainly made his thoughts known to his own defenders. And then, you know, 1-1. Again, FC United are defending for the first goal. I think it was Danny Mawson on the left-hand side. A single player's out in this instance because you can see he's at the wrong side of his player and doesn't deal with it. And to be honest, I thought Fisher should have stayed on his feet a little bit more because the ball went under his feet, basically, when he dived. So I think it was a poor goal to concede. But you're thinking, you know what, we're still in the game at 1-1. Then you've got sending off. And you're thinking, you know, let's make this count. And it did for a period of time. But then again, I've got to say, you know, when you bypass a midfield, when you you start playing long balls and you seem to lose the thought process of actually we're winning here 3-1, we're against 10 men. And regardless of instruction from the touchline, which there was a plenty, the players didn't take it on board. They panicked. They didn't have belief in themselves. And the two goals conceded again were very poor marking. Again, there was, I think, the second goal. It was from a header, a misplaced header from Morton again. The ball comes across and it's a half-decent finish. But again, you know, it should have been dispatched. And the equaliser, well, again, it's poor defending. We didn't get beat. That's the only consolation, because when you can see two goals like that and you make it 3-3, you expect the team to go on and get defeated. But I think the problem is that defeat, that point will feel like a defeat, and it really, tomorrow the players have to show character, have to show belief in themselves. Have they got that belief in themselves? It's very hard to say whether they have or not, Ben, because they would have been so dejected and down after Tuesday night being 3-1, and the adulation and the happiness and Willoughby's goal to make it 3-1. Great finish, because he's basically put it the opposite side of a goalkeeper at an acute angle and on a heart, like on the volley. So you go from that high moment, obviously in his England debut, he scores a goal as well. He's scoring goals for Fulham, I think that's 16, 17 for the season, in a team third bottom. But you've got to do better. I mean, I know Neil was very angry in his after-match thoughts and processes, and I know a lot of people on the message board.
Let's go to that now. Let's go to that now, because obviously, you know, we...
Do me a favour, Ben.
Yeah.
Just preempt me when you're going to just stop me in mid-draft. You actually scared the pants off me then. I actually
Turn me down then. Anyway.
No, it wasn't. It was just like you came out of nowhere.
Oh, sorry. So, obviously, Neil's our... I'm going to work this out. There's Marge, Greaves, Chaddy, our fourth manager, right? And I think he's the... Because obviously Tom had to go into the dressing room and get changed and that, and Chaddy didn't really have enough time to get involved in the role. But Renault's the first one who actually comes up without me asking. And it was about 10 minutes after the full-time whistle, so you are going to get a very, very lively interview, aren't you, and opinions. And I suppose that's kind of what you want, or is it?
Well, it's a twofold thing, in fairness. I mean, you know, because we've got radio listeners, you want the manager to come up and have a conversation with you, tell his thoughts and processes of the game. A lot of other clubs, obviously, don't have radio. And they rely heavily, and some actually quite a lot do as well, but they rely heavily on maybe an interview, maybe half an hour afterwards on camera, and you can be a bit more measured. But football is a passionate game, and you know you've seen people be measured and calm, and then 4 days later berate a football club. You know, no names mentioned. Jim Gannon, sorry, I think you speak with your heart. You see what you say, and sometimes it's the right thing to do. Other times it can be the wrong thing. People can pick you up on it. People can say blah blah blah. The players can listen to it. But sometimes when you win a situation where your entire season really, and let's not forget, the entire season really was pivotal on Tuesday. If we'd won that game, we would be now 1 point behind Geisley, who have got to go to...
Geisley won as well, didn't they? So it would have
I know, but you know what I'm saying. Yeah. We would have been... At one point, during that game, at 3-1, we were 1 point behind. Geisley scored later on in the game. You know, guys, you've got two games again coming tomorrow and then on Tuesday. I firmly believe we could maybe close that gap. But he's looking at that game going, you know, 3-1, we're doing well, and then they've not taken on board what we've said. I've heard people on message boards and listened and read them, and people saying, you know, Neil Reynolds is a clown. He doesn't understand the game. I mean, he came in with all these promises, and it's absolute BS that, you know, what he's been talking, all the rest of it. And I was like, absolute nonsense. Because you, I don't know how people expect, unless you are a full-time manager, unless you are somebody who works with players every day of the week, and unless you are a miracle worker, yeah, you're 3-1 up, you do not expect your team to capitulate. You send messages out and say, do A, B, and C. If they don't do it, you can't do anything from the line. You can't haul the whole team off. So the players have a responsibility. We're on the pitch to do the job. They were doing well enough at 3-1. So the players were doing well. Then they go to sleep. Then they start making mistakes. Then it's obviously a job of a captain on the pitch, and also the manager try and get messages to say, let's do A, B and C. If they don't do that, there's nothing the manager can do. He's been there for 5 months. The team has been very much changed. I believe whether we stay up or we go down, he's the right person for the job. We will have a good season next season. And also, let's have a reality check. I'm 50 years of age this year.
No. Ben, I was... No, and I was, no, he's not. No, he's not. He's 40. He's 40, Swamper. No.
And I was too young to really feel the pain of Manchester United being relegated in 1976. Obviously, those
four.
That went on...
Four.
74, sorry. Those that went on to enjoy the towns and... villages of Great Britain with the Dock's Red Army. We'll talk about those days as probably the best season of football they ever had. So as a United supporter, as a Manchester United supporter, I have never known relegation. I have known, obviously, under Dave Sexton, the appalling football and how dour it was, and then the likes of... Roy Atkinson coming in, and then Ferguson, and obviously the legacy that was created. So we've been used to winning, 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 winning. When FC United was born, we started off, we won, we won, we won, we won, we won. It's something that 95% of football supporters have all suffered relegation, have all suffered pain and heartache more than once. Now, we might suffer. I was absolutely dejected on Tuesday. I really was. I was so, so flat. I actually turned the radio off with the last 8 minutes to go, Ben.
It was a good show.
I know it was, but I was that... I just turned off because I was thinking, you know what? The more I listen, they're not going to get the fourth goal. I'd love to have that lovely surprise occasion when, oh, yes, we've done it. But I was dejected. I was really down. But then I went, hold on a second. Look, if we get relegated, we get this plumbing heck. I mean, clubs have disappeared. I mean, Darlington, we're going to play Darlington soon enough. They lost the football club. You know, I mean, AFC Wimbledon, they lost their football club. Now, they have gone up and up and then down and relegated and then up again. And they're fighting relegation. They're doing quite a good job of it at this moment in time. There's no right. We don't have a right to stay where we are. The manager isn't at fault. If Neil Reynolds had been in for the beginning of the season with a pre-season and with the players that he wanted, FC United and Manchester would not be in the situation they are now. I'm not saying they would be vying for a title, but they certainly wouldn't be in the situation they are in now. And we can see that, you know, on a small budget, if you get the right players in and you have the good mentality, you can do well. Look at Curzon now. Curzon are flying. They are... just on the cusp of the playoffs. They're not pretty going to quite get there, but it shows what you can do with stability, even though they lost the manager halfway through the season, but the vast majority of players stayed there and they've done well. We, on the other hand, have had Tom Greaves, Dave Chadwick. We've now obviously got Neil Reynolds. Neil lost one of his backroom staff. He was a very important, very, very important member of staff because of finances. We've had four goalkeepers. We've had 55 players. Goodness gracious me, that would be difficult for any manager to come in. We've had financial constraints on trying to bring players in. So all these things were third bottom. We've seen some great football. We've seen some dour football. But that is football. So let's get behind the team, regardless of whether we win, lose or draw. That's what we always said. We were a protest club for disaffected, disenfranchised Manchester United supporters and others as well that want to come and enjoy football. And let's build upon that. Let's enjoy what we've got in front of us. And I will say, if tomorrow FC United lose, as I say, I've got someone else to burn the chip van for me, and Neil Reynolds is he's the first to go.
Okie doke. What, the paper cutout, the cardboard
cutout?
Yeah,
yeah, yeah. Not literally.
Above the chip van. It's not the Wicker Man. No.
I haven't got a sniper in the flats behind the miners, just there with waiting for him, then pop him off now. Yeah, what score? 4-0, right, boom, it's gone. No, I'm not suggesting that for a moment.
Just the cardboard cutout of Neil Reynolds and David May. That's all we're talking about.
David May, they're being burnt to the ground. There's a tavern in your town,
So FC United against Nuneaton Borough this weekend. At the same time, Geyser will be taking on York City. Now, results are... It's a funny old game, football swamp. It's a funny old game. And, you know...
Do you want me to do a Scottish accent now?
Oh, I've done a Cockney. I mean, you can if you want.
Oh, Greasy. You're so funny, Greasy. Greasy. Well done.
It's 5 points currently. By the end of tomorrow, it could be two.
Yeah, well, of course it could. I mean, York will feel like they got out of jail free card on Tuesday. They also knew they were in the mire as well. If that result had gone against them, they would have been in the mix to a degree. They get the point. They'll feel confident going into the game. They'll know that guys have got a tremendous victory against Curzon on midweek. But you've got to fancy York to win that. And you've also got to... it should be a banker tomorrow. But again, the nerves will be certainly on show. It depends how the players prepare themselves for tomorrow's game. FC United have to win, should win, and it should be a banker. So you're right, we could be 2 points. And then you've got the possibility of guys to go into Spennymoor on Tuesday and then also getting beat. And then it is game on still, because there's 2 points and then there's the same...
Wait, everyone. We're how many minutes into the show? We're about, 20 minutes into the show? We started off the show in a sombre tone, talking about Brexit and all that. Then we went into the relegation battle and you know, it's been a bit sombre. Are we suggesting now, with about less than 10 minutes of the show left, that it's on again? Is that what we're saying?
Well, It's never really been off.
Is it on again? Oh, I can't cope with this. Oh, it's like Ben, being on uppers. Ben, oh, come on.
Ben,
oh.
Ben. Well, that being on poppers than uppers, I can tell you. My head's going a bit round like a record baby, right round. If you end up on Tuesday night with FC United 2 points behind Geisley with on the same points... Then, and let's not forget, who are they playing the following Saturday?
Oh, I know this. Don't tell me. Let me click the right window. Is it Brackley Town away?
It's Brackley Town away. We're playing Darlington. Darlington are on 40 points. Darlington are struggling as well. You know, Darlington got beat midweek, which helped FC United. So Darlington are a downward spiral. If we can go to Darlington and get a point there, and Brackley beat Geisley, same points, same for both teams. Obviously, they've got a better and superior goal difference. But if we can go to Darlington and get a result, I fully expect Brackley to beat Geisley at Brackley. Then
it's on, everyone. We're out of the relegation zone.
Out of the relegation zone and the possibility of a playoff.
I've not worked out the maths, but can I just let everyone know?
Pretty much impossible, Ben. Pretty much impossible.
Can I just let everyone know that,
of course,
that I agree with you, dear listener at home. Football punditry, football commentary and broadcasting, it is ridiculous. It really is. But we can only go off results and what's coming up. And what we've just said there is quite realistic, in all fairness.
Well, it is, yeah. And you can also go off a little bit of professional knowledge, Ben, a little bit of understanding of the game. You can watch the football and you can watch it, you know, as we do. And no disrespect to any supporters out there, but most supporters watch it with a few beers down the neck. And I've been doing that, watching Union St. Giles. And it's totally different. And one thing you do as well is, and this is the truth, if you're watching a game of football as a supporter, you miss so much of it because you're watching, you're singing, you're talking, someone's getting a beer from the bar. So you don't see 90 minutes. We watch as commentators the entire game. We are forced to endure an entire 90 minutes of football. And if we're not doing that, we're listening. The radio listener has probably as much knowledge about FC United and their performances because of the great quality that is provided by the radio crew.
Yeah.
Than most JCL, Main Standard, SMREA, whatever you want to call them, on 7 pints of Holtz's Happy Juice, and then going, hey, you know what? We're absolutely rubbish today.
Can I just
and
say?
An hour later going, what was the score? How many people do we know that have actually left the ground thinking we've won? And not until the Sunday, sobered up, realised, oh, it was a draw. All the other way around, we got beat, and they thought, oh no, we won. That is a football supporter. Leave it to us, the experts, to give the punditry, give the quality. And I have to say as well, Roy Sewell was absolutely bang average on Saturday.
Well, that's because he wasn't there. You mean Tuesday?
Tuesday as well. No, he was very good, in fairness. You were both very good.
Can I just say, there's truth in what you're saying there. Not about me and Roy being really good, because we were, but the fact that people don't necessarily watch the match. Somebody said that Big John Parkin won every single ball. No, he didn't. Mohamed won 95% of those battles with Big John Parkin on Tuesday night.
Look, Ben, I watch Union St. Giles, and our season starts again tomorrow. We have ten games.
Squeeze that in.
Ten games to get into the Europa League. And I watch a game with a lad called Daryl. Daryl has been to FC many times, lots of FC supporters with friends from, he's originally from Darwin, and he now lives over here, that's for a long time. He said to me, after the third game of watching, he said, I have missed 95% of Union's goals in the last 8 years. And in that game, we scored 5, and he missed all 5.
That's not the right percentage there, Swampy. What did you say? He's missed how many goals?
Over the years, he's missed, he reckons, about 95% of all goals ever scored by Union. And on the occasion he told me that story, he missed all 5 goals that Union scored that afternoon.
Well, by my maths, Swampy, that's 100% in that particular game. So
in that particular game, he missed 100% of goals, but on average, 95%. And because fans, we do. I mean, we talk, you know, we're watching the game, you're looking over there, and then you see something in the crowd, and you're this, that, and before, we scored, and we don't have a scoreboard, like, you know, a replay. We're not fancy dance.
We're not Kidderminster, no.
We're not fancy dance at Union. But in reality, yes, it's on, Ben. I think it's on.
Hey, we're back, everyone. Come on, jump on board the bandwagon. We're on our way to 19th. Anyway, just before we go, we do have to mention a passing this week, and that's Scott Walker. And that takes me back. And Brian came up to me on Tuesday night and he said, I hope you're going to be playing some Scott Walker songs this week. Because who could forget, Swampy, the Manchester Premier Cup match between Radcliffe Borough and FC United many years ago, where the ball spent so much time out the ground. Scott Walker was our friend that evening.
He was indeed, but I thought it was not only Scott Walker at the time. It was the Walker brothers, wasn't it?
It's both. No, we started off with Scott Walker.
There was three, wasn't there? There were three non-brothers. Did you know in 1970, he came to the UK, and that's where they became famous, the Walker brothers. They had no major hits in the US. They came to live in the UK. They had the big hit, the two really big hits that everyone knows, and then they disbanded and Scott Walker went to live in a monastery in the Isle of Wight.
Is that right?
Yeah. And he learned sort of like an ancient monk text and dialogue. And then he brought his album out, Scott 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, didn't he? From 1967, all the way through. And then he brought us an absolutely phenomenal album out in about 1993, I think it was. Absolutely, and obviously musical scores, for films and the like. I mean, the man was a genius, and yeah, you know, he was a genius. Vocally, one of the most pure, beautiful voices. You can't get a voice like that, and that is just, it was just legendary, absolutely wonderful. And I'm glad we did play it. And also that night, yes, he got us through. Scott got us through the Ratcliffe Borough debacle of a man in a boating lake behind the ground, paddling round getting footballs because we lost that many that evening. Happy days.
I've never seen so many friends.
We could be back there next year, couldn't we? Because they could get promoted and we get relegated and we're back at the Duck Pond.
No, it's guys visiting Stanton Park this next season. Oh, anyway.
I like your thinking, Ben.
Swampy, just before we go, we need a song off you, my friend.
Frustration, Ben. Frustration. I think that is really something that both ourselves as supporters of FC United and Manchester will feel. I do feel that the fans of Nuneaton have been through the mill. They're very frustrated, obviously. Jimmy Ginnelly's now, I think, manager.
He's doing a good job.
Manager, director, kit man, pot washer.
Burger maker.
Yeah. He does the 50-50 draw at half time. He's also the mascot, by the way. He walks around as the mascot. Talking of the mascot, do you know what Runcorn Linnet's mascot's called?
Lionel.
It's called Ron Corn.
It's
a giant corn.
Stop. Come on. Everyone, get up at home. Oh, superb. Ron Corn.
And it's a giant corn in the cob walking around like Ron Corn, famed for its corn. Have a look. The picture is a treat. Oh, absolutely wonderful. But frustration, yeah, there is frustration, obviously, at Nuneaton Borough. Frustration at FC United of Manchester. So I thought fresh maggots.
What? Sorry?
Fresh maggots. Fresh maggots, Ben. They're actually, believe it or not, they're a band from Nuneaton. They're around in 1971. Mick Burgoyne and Lee Dolphin were the two singers in the band. The album's called Maggots, from the Fresh Maggots. And they were a folk band and a psychedelic rock band. And the track is called Frustration. And I thought it was quite apt, really, because both teams have been frustrated. Tomorrow, one will be more frustrated than the other. And let's hope, unfortunately for them, it's Nuneaton. No disrespect to them. Cracking supporters, gone through the mill horrendously. But it's FC United's day tomorrow. So let's get out there, let's win. Let Neil Reynolds do his job. Let Chaddy get in there working with the players as well. Not aware of any injuries or any problems at the club this moment. In fact, I've not even asked this week. I've just left the club to themselves. And my information I've decided not to share with anybody else because I haven't asked for any information because it's too important for them to get their mindset for tomorrow's game. So let's enjoy that. Let's enjoy the legendary Fresh Maggots and the track Frustration. Ben, it's been wonderful talking to you. Come on, FC United. I'll be listening to the game whilst watching... Whilst watching Union St. Giles, and we'll speak to you next week, Ben. All the very, very best.
Pick me up, this has been everyone. Bye bye, everyone. Just to say, while you were doing your little rallying cry there at the end, I've looked up Ron Corn on Twitter, and it is a real thing, and it's beautiful. It really is beautiful.
Oh, Ben, I know it is. Sorry, I went. It looks like it could do with a wash. It's like a shabby. It's like he's fallen over in the mud of Runcorn and like going, oh, we're all right, lad. But yeah, I think I did Runcorn. Fantastic. I think you could make it up.